Welcome back, Rabbit Hole Dwellers, for yet another week here at Rabbit Hole Stories. Joelle and I had the pleasure of speaking with Bastian Feder, who's the co-founder of Leaper Wallet. And obviously we spoke about Lightning, Bitcoin adoption, Central European countries and their adoption of Bitcoin overall. So it was a nice little conversation, very low-key, very chill. It's got a very calming energy. So sit back, kick back and drink a coffee. But Joelle, what did you take from the episode before we send people down this rabbit hole?
The way Basti was in the episode is also how you meet him in real life. He's really one of the Bitcoiners with his business because they have a point of sales and a Lightning wallet. He's not too shy to hop in his car and drive to a merchant to help him onboard. And this is the same way he's also been in the interview. So it was a very low-key one. I liked his perspective on why hodlers need to spend more Bitcoin as a sneak preview. But without wasting any more time, have fun with this one, guys. And as always, stay curious. Hello and welcome back to Rabbit Hole Stories, everyone. And today it's a pleasure to have Bastian from Lipa, one of the few payment providers, Bitcoin payment providers in basically Europe, right, Basti?
Yes. I mean, there are like in Europe, there are like a handful, like five or six.
But you keep the torch up high for like the German speaking area.
Yes. I mean, we usually go for German, Austria and Switzerland at the moment. So we are basically one of two in this area.
Two. Is it Swiss Bitcoin Pay? That's the other one?
Yeah.
I just had to think. It's like, who's there? And as the show suggests,
yes. I forgot Opago. I'm sorry. Opago is another one in Germany. We just started with their POS. Indeed.
That's true. I think they weren't there a short time they had an office here. Oh no, that's another one of the payment providers. Yeah, they pop up left, right, and center, and usually, they either merge or stuff. But as the title of the show suggests, it's about rabbit hole stories. And let's kick off your episode with yours, because I'm interested in how you found Bitcoin and why you decided to found a Bitcoin company.
Yeah, I mean, without me knowing, it started like mid of 2017, because I went on a sabbatical. And with this, I went on a motorcycle trip. And on this motorcycle trip, I happened to stumble upon Robert Kiyosaki with Rich Dad Poor Dad in a hostel in Bulgaria. And I was so fascinated of this, I basically ate the book in one day. So it really spoke to me about all those quadrants and being in a rabbit, in a rat race, and so on. And with this, I wrote a lot about being self-sufficient, having passive incomes, and so on. So coming back from this tour in late 2017, I wanted to start my own company. I haven't had an idea what, but with this, I basically stumbled upon the possibility that there are cryptocurrencies which enable you that you earn a passive income from them, just by running verification nodes. This was basically how I got into all this crypto stuff and so on. I was never trading. I was never like speculating on it. I was basically setting up the node and paying my rent with the income I made out of it. So that was quite decent at that time. Happily, one of my co-founders, Adrian, came to me and basically gave me the Bitcoin standard. He said, like, this is a nice idea what you're doing here, but this is the real stuff. Just read the book and then we talk. And with that, I had a long train ride back to Germany. I'm currently living in Switzerland since 14 years now. And I occasionally visit my parents. So it's a 6 to 7 hours train ride just north. And I started the book when I was leaving Bern. I'm living in Bern. And basically was done with the book 6 hours later when I arrived in Cologne. And I was like, whoa, what is happening? So I got more information about money. I got more information and more wisdom about how the money system works than I had like in my life before. this was very eye-opening for me. So wars cannot be funded because of there's no money printing. The Cantillon effect is very limited, and all those stuff, which always bothered me in some kind, because I had to have, when I was still in Germany, I had to pay high taxes and so on and so on. So it was still like, okay, what I'm doing wrong? I'm basically working 50, 60 hours a week, and I still cannot live off it. So there is something really wrong. And this is what Bitcoin gave me in the end. I gave me the idea of how money should work. So I talked to Aiden and also to Patrick, the third co-founder of the company. And we said, like, okay, this is such a great thing. It's inclusive, and it's basically a tool for freedom. And we really want to bring this to everybody else. And with that, we basically started Libra.
You're like me. The Bitcoin standard was the thing that hooked me, actually, because I started down the whole curiosity of cryptocurrencies and all that sort of stuff. But it was actually when I was listening, actually, the first time around to the audiobook version on the plane. And it was just the thing that sort of like spun my head around, my head exploded. And I was like, now I understand it. Was that a similar kind of thing for you? So was it like the Bitcoin standard that kind of drove it home for you? Or was it just sort of like an ever-growing curiosity for you?
No, I was not really into money, I have to admit. I knew that I have to get it, I have to earn it. And I was really running the red race. I was working, when I was still in Cologne, I was working for a startup called Papaya. They made content management system. And for that, I was like the right hand of the CTO. And I was sometimes working like 100, 110 hours a week, just to get not only everything done, but also to get by. And then I had to pay like 52% of my earnings to the German state. And I was like, what's happening here? So I found some tweaks around it, being like a freelancer, doing like trainings and stuff. So with this, I could get none of those taxes paid, could get back. But that's still, it was still, I was working like half a year, I was working for the German state, and I really didn't get it. And then with the Bitcoin standard, that was the knowledge, what was missing. That was the missing link for me. So the Bitcoin standard gave me the missing information I never had before. So where does money come from? What is the fractional reserve and all the stuff? And with this, it clicked at some point.
Sorry, Joel, my mute button's sticking. Did you have a question?
It was more a comment. I was like 6 to 7 hours reading the entire Bitcoin standard. That's very quick, because it took me a couple of weeks, to be honest, because I had to sometimes lay it down and go like, okay, all right, let's recap what it said in the chapter. Working previously in the startup, Basti, were you always a quick learner? Did you pick things up very quickly, or was it just a book that grabbed you and you had to read it?
No, the book itself was very, the writing style is not the best, I have to admit, but the topic got me. And I was always a quick learner. I'm still am, hopefully, because I'm at Libra, I'm doing a lot of stuff I don't have any background in at the moment. So it's more legal, and it's a lot of contracts and businesses and business processes and AML and whatever. But I was always like a quick learner in that terms. I studied chemistry at some point in my life, and I always had a quick grasp on math, on natural science. And with this, I think it's a good base for knowing what's happening in Bitcoin.
You said that you don't or didn't know much about money before Bitcoin, and I think that's true for most people that come into Bitcoin. Because it's kind of kept from you all your life, the intricacies of money and how it works. And I think maybe that's by design, because we don't really get educated or told what money is, where it comes from and how it works in the world. Because if we did, maybe we would sort of question the efficacy of money more in society. But now that you do understand money much more than you once did, Is there any kind of direction that you're going in with anything in terms of money? Like, the reason why I'm asking that is because the Bitcoin Standard is very much like an Austrian economic lens of Bitcoin, right? And you've got other sort of perspectives. And I think, is it Knut, he was talking about praxeology, which is like adjacent to kind of Austrian economics in a way. Is there any kind of sort of theses or sort of construction of money that you have in your mind and how it works in Bitcoin? Because many people have got many different ideas about what money is.
I mean, I still have to live with the fiat world. For now, even if we are working sleeplessly to get this system down, we still have to come by with the fiat world. So currently, what I'm trying to do is I push Libra as hard as I can, and therefore most of my money goes into Libra. So everything we earn, everything we can prevent from being spent, it will be in development, and it is in putting the system forward. So unfortunately, there's not much stacking for me at the moment, but I believe in the long term. So as soon as we have a system where let's say most of the people understand what's happening, Libra will be here to help everyone to basically participate with it. Further on, especially with the Libra wallet, Joel, you asked me earlier about it, when finally it will be in the App Store. So with the Libra wallet, we are really trying to close the gap between the fiat system and the Bitcoin system. So we have like in-application exchange, so that you basically, as you know it from Pocket Bitcoin, you can send Bitcoin to a SEPA, fiat to a SEPA account. You get a reference number. We will exchange it for you and then swap it into your Lightning wallet. So basically, if it's a fast SEPA or a SEPA instant transfer, it's basically 2 minutes before you. So you can spend your Bitcoin on the Lightning wallet. So coming back to your question, I don't have like a specific financial system in mind. I'm living with this, with what we are like supposed to do. And then with Libra, we help everybody to get out of it.
This is actually quite a good in for my follow question, because this is sometimes something I struggle with in the Bitcoin community, because not everyone that is very active on social media and all of these platforms is, you know, heavily involved in the Bitcoin business world, because it's tough to run a Bitcoin only business, because, you know, you don't get the pump and dumps with the meme coins and all of the shit coins and stuff. And then as an added benefit, you obviously still have one foot in the fiat world. For you guys with Libra, because one portion is the wallet you just mentioned, we'll go into this deeper on, and the other portion is the point of sale and these kind of things. What is sort of the biggest struggle you see where you go like, this holds us back due to like fiat or compliance or whatever it is? Is there anything, or do you see this just as a path to get to hyper-Bitcoinization?
Maybe we started with the point of sale for the reason that we saw there are already a lot of people having or actually buying Bitcoin and hodling Bitcoin, and everybody is basically complaining there are not enough locations where we can spend our Bitcoin. This was the first market proposition we made when we started with Libra. So we really wanted to push the point of sale and acceptance. Bitcoin acceptance locations, first of all in Switzerland, and then to Europe, to Germany and Austria. So we came from the perspective that we said, okay, we need to push it. So the most struggle over the years, and it's like 2 years now, we basically had is that those people who earn Bitcoin actually want to spend them, and that was something we didn't really anticipate, because we were talking to a lot of people that who said they own Bitcoin and so on. And then in the end, seeing that even if we have like a lot of merchants now over those three countries, the amount of Bitcoin spent is most of the time where Bitcoiners are together. So meetups, citadels, conferences, all those, or like special events, all those let's say enclosed areas where they can feel safe in some kind, they are really willing to spend. I mean, we had like more than I think 6 million Satoshi spent on BTC 23, which was quite for that time already like a lot of money, just on food and drinks and some else. So with all of this, we basically saw that yes, the merchant side is really one part. And like onboarding merchants and see that Bitcoin acceptance locations are growing. But then on the other hand, we saw like, okay, but let's have a look at the wallet situation in Bitcoin. So there's like a handful self-custodian wallets, which are more and more technical than the normal user actually really want to see, even like with innovators and first movers, early adopters. Those people, yeah, if they have like 1 or 2 times exposure with the Phoenix or with the Blink wallet, they get used to it. But it's not like a nice UI. It's not like a nice user experience. Even like with the Phoenix or Breeze coupling or with pocket Bitcoin, so that you can basically send pocket Bitcoin some euros or whatever, and you get a QR code and scan the QR code and have it swapped in your Lightning wallet. Even that is already too complicated for people. I mean, they have to do like 4 or 5 steps. We had a look at all of these and really had a deep dive in how can we make it easier. Hence, the feature. Even if we are using Pocket at the moment in the background, the feature is basically reduced down to 1 step, and then you're good. You don't have to have like 3 or 4 steps. So this is basically why we also had a look at building our own self-custodian wallet.
I should maybe unmute myself, then it works better. So there's a few things there we can talk about. And I think with the current, you know, discussions and stuff, we can also talk about Lightning as a whole. Because I said this in another interview once. If you asked me 6 months ago, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, Lightning is a piece of cake. It will just grow. It will grow a bit slower because this is due to just the way Bitcoin lives and breathes. But it will definitely be there. And now where I see more, you know, a peek behind the curtains and actually understand the complexity of Lightning. And I would say the fragility at one point, because, you know, it still has to have a lot of development under the hood. What is your gut initial reaction if people tell you like, oh, you know, Lightning has failed and we will never move into this future where people spend their Bitcoin? Is it just a hot topic at the moment, or do you also see other data where you can say, actually, it's a bit different?
I mean, spending Bitcoin is always a hot topic. I mean, we had like a lot of initiatives in the past where it's like spend and rebuy, or they're using Bitcoin, or where, whole Berlin went on their foot and started to onboard other more businesses, or like rechecking for btcmap.org. So I think spending Bitcoin will still be a hot topic, but we have to approach it from another angle. Bitcoiners are very conservative in terms of how their Bitcoin balance moves. If it decreases, they really want to have like it restacked like immediately, hopefully for the same price in euro or Swiss franc. And so they what we see is they really want to keep their Bitcoin balance kind of leveled. So I think we need to approach this from kind of an angle where we can provide those Bitcoiners who really want to drive the economy and stuff, but are conservative with their Bitcoin balance. We have to provide them with features in the applications where they can instantly rebuy their Bitcoin. This is what we see quite often, that we just made a questionnaire sent out to 500 people in the Bitcoin space. And there were like three major topics. It was like a Bitcoin IBAN, where you can give somebody an IBAN address, and as soon as incoming transactions will be converted into Bitcoin and swapped into Lightning. This was one which was highly received. Then the other one was stack and rebuy, spend and rebuy, or instant rebuy, we called it. This one was like through the roof. So everybody wanted to use it, and like at least, and like also like have this swap from whatever instantly, so that basically the Bitcoin balance does not drop. Everybody was okay with the Bitcoin balance increasing, but no one was actually in for it. So the Bitcoin that they lose or they spend their Bitcoin and the balance drops. And the last one was more like a function where we can say, okay, you can use from your wallet, from your Bitcoin wallet, you can basically spend Bitcoin paying a euro or a Swiss franc invoice. It was everybody found this idea nice, but nobody was like really into it, which was interesting as well. So coming back to your question, is like my gut feeling is that Lightning has not failed, not in the slightest, because we have a very fast and very very reliable payment system if the nodes and everything are maintained correctly. And this, here we come to the weakness, liquidity, where the diversity of it's the diversity of the liquidity through all of the network participants. This is something we really have to figure how we can do reliable pathfinding and so on. So this will be a big thing if we can tackle this a little bit more.
Yeah, because you're right with the whole payments side of Bitcoin, because Bitcoiners are very conservative with their Bitcoin, obviously, because it's going to increase in value over time. So you're disincentivized, if you like, to part with your valuable sats, because we're still early, adoption is still sort of in its early days as well. And it goes into the whole Bitcoin standard as well, where it speaks about things have to, it's value for value, right? You have to really have something of huge value that is of a benefit to you, for you to then part with your valuable Bitcoin in order to buy it. So it's almost like getting into, it would seem to me anyway, an organization or building an organization like you are, like Lipa Wallet, it's a difficult place to be, because you're trying to sort of figure out, you know, it obviously is demand for spending Bitcoin, because obviously at the meetups and the conferences, but there also needs to be a market or things of true value enough for us to then part with our satoshis. And in this transition of the fiat system, where everything we buy is all consumerism, buy now, buy quick and buy cheap, and nothing is incentivizing us Bitcoiners to part with our sats, right? So it's like a in the future thing. So how are you sort of how are you overcoming that as a problem?
I totally agree with everyone who says, like, you spend your the assets of lowest value, you spend first, hopefully to acquire assets of higher value. But I mean, there's a downside to that. You really want, I mean, from the Bitcoiner perspective, and I'm really talking about those guys who really wants to drive Bitcoin hyper Bitcoinization, and really want to see it as a means of payment. We have to start using it if we want it to be a means of payment. So everybody has to be, or people has to get used to stuff, and people have to basically dive their nose in new things before they can get rid of the FUD and everything which is basically thrown at them every day. So we are quite, Deepa is from that point, is probably a little bit different, that we really want to see this hyper-Bitcoinization. We really want to see or want to give the people the freedom of choice. And, I mean, fiat will, in some way or the other, fiat will survive because everybody, like the governments and everybody, is really into this. We need more. We drive the economy with incentives by printing money and by incentivize, I don't know, putting huge windmills in the countryside and destroying the environment and then declare it as environment friendly. So from my point of view, the fiat system, if it's CBDCs or whatever, they will survive at some point. But we have to have the counterpart. We have to have a free and inclusive system which everybody can opt into and opt out of the other way, of the other thing. I think this is why we are so passionate about putting all what we're doing, putting our everyday efforts, supporting this free and open system.
Yeah, totally. That's very interesting as well. And I agree, because every shop I go into, to my wife's frustration and annoyance, every time I ask it, she knows I'm going to ask it. If I'm ever paying for something over a counter, whether it's at a shop at the corner just to buy a couple of beers, or whether it's in a restaurant to pay for our food, I always ask the same question: do you accept Bitcoin yet? And the yet is in there as a way of saying, oh, who else is doing it? Who else is accepting it? But also, just by asking that question, puts in the mind of people that you could actually receive payments in Bitcoin. It might not have much impact at all, but by asking that question, I feel that in my own little work that I'm doing, I'm trying to sort of like create this idea that actually we can transact and pay for stuff for our everyday needs in Bitcoin, and maybe that's a way that we can help drive adoption. And that seems to be a good way to sort of like get at least people talking sometimes. Or the other day on the train, when I was trying to buy a can of beer on the train, on the trolley up to Scotland, I said, "Oh, you guys accepting Bitcoin yet?" And he was like, "Oh, it'd be a very expensive can of Coke." And I was like, "Oh no, I can pay partial Bitcoin. It doesn't have to be one whole Bitcoin, I'm not paying $70,000 for one can of Coke." So at least it sort of like gets rid of some of people's sort of like misconceptions about it as well. I don't know how you feel about any of what I've said, mate.
I mean, I'm doing this constantly the same. Like, I'm always asking, do you accept Bitcoin? I think you have a great idea, like just adding this three-letter word yet, because this actually implies that there are others doing it already. I really like this. But also what we do is, what we realized over the last year was, it is a nice idea to walk from merchant to merchant and ask every merchant and to have the support of the community doing the same. But it's not... over the time, it's not only very frustrating doing cold calls and doing like all the trying to convince people who are not yet really understanding how the current system works with something which is probably as complex as the current system. So what we are currently doing is I'm on the cold calling strike for cashier systems. I'm on the cold calling strike for hotelery, gastronomy systems. So all those multipliers who already have like thousands of merchants on their system, and then helping them to integrate Bitcoin payments into their system, that with basically with the click of the button and an update on the machine in the local areas and restaurants and whatever, provide the possibility for them to receive Bitcoin just by activating another option in their cashless system. And we had quite a success end of last year, where we already were able to integrate Lipa into a system which will be rolled out hopefully soon in one area of Germany, and then we will be on 500 locations with one click, which would be awesome. We're still waiting for some confirmation. We're still waiting for some tax implementation on their side, but the system is already set up and integrated, and we're only waiting for legal to confirm that we can start.
Yeah, and I feel sometimes the Bitcoin ecosystem says we all have long time horizons, but then we're very much short-lived because everyone wants everything happening today. And if you run a business, you run in a legal framework, and this unfortunately takes time, takes a lot of effort. You said previously a lot of your time now is spent, with these business dealings, these forms and things. And I think we shouldn't forget this sometimes. If that means that I may have to visit a merchant two or three times more, but if it's worth the effort and they get on, I think this should be counted as a W. But yet we should know what we're working on, right? And I think with every Lightning developer, startup, or people I speak to, they all know of the limitations on Lightning, and everyone is working hard at fixing this. But as you mentioned, it also needs the liquidity from people. So you have this little rabbit hole there where people sometimes just get lost a bit in this thinking and want to act too quickly. Maybe some takes on your end, what you think about this?
I think you're totally right in that terms that everybody lives for so long. I mean, we have some time horizon which is our lifespan. And really, we want to see things happening very fast. I mean, if you see on the fiat system, it's like 50 years old in this system we are living now. And Bitcoin is now like in the mid-teens. So all good. From my point of view, we are still in an early times where we still have to figure out stuff. And but nevertheless, if we want to see Bitcoin being more used, I especially do not say more useful, because I think it's useful by design, and it's already, you can already use it, or you can already spend it for everyday purchase. I mean, Shopping Bit does a very great job in providing like everything from from a toothpaste to a comb, or what everyday need stuff like Amazon does for the fiat world. And so my take on start using it. I mean, there's no better thing to push to make Bitcoin more available for the common world than using it.
Why do you think that these Central European countries are very strong on Bitcoin, and the community seems like unstoppable? Because we were speaking to Mateusz from BTC Prague only a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying it's mainly down to sort of the history of communism and, coming into sort of like a capitalism environment from there. And I know, Central Europe's got a long history with money and politics. So what's your take on why it's so strong over in those regions?
I mean, Europe, let's see the Western European parts, and then include Liechtenstein and Switzerland as well. The currency is, I do quotes with my hands at the moment, it's quite stable. So there's not really the need for a parallel system in that terms, that people losing a lot of money, like 60-80% over a year in their in the spending power. So this is actually what I think currently think is holding us back. If you look at the Czech Republic, like where Matthias is coming from, they have a totally different force which drives them into Bitcoinization. I mean, the inflation rate, I don't know it at the moment, how high it's in Czech Republic, but what probably Matthias would have mentioned is, I mean, they are like a society of like up and downs. So they are used to volatility. They're used to that you have to be active to change things. And especially Germany at the moment is, for me, in a very deep sleep when it comes to changing stuff. They always miss out in change. So this is why I think that especially the Balkan states and Czech Republic and stuff, and those, they are way more interested and way more keen about a system with no third party, with instant settlement and with all the good things Bitcoin brings.
Definitely. And I mean, for the German-speaking area, we had this with Robin. We also had it with Nicholas from Dezentralschweiz, where we're more used to, you know, saving and not investing. So, you know, Sparte, Sparte, Häuslebauer. And on the other end, we're also used to, if we invest very conservatively, try to hold on to stuff. And I think there just needs to be more pain for more people to get it. And having said that, though, the people who work in Bitcoin and who contribute out of these countries, and you know, we're the countries with like the most engineers and people very much tinkering around it. So you do see this adoption happening, again, just a bit slower. But this is where I think stuff like the Lipa wallet could be essential, because for the people who don't know, can you walk through again? You basically reduced from having to do 5 steps to turn fiat into Bitcoin to 2, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, because it's a registration where you basically tell us your IBAN, because we need to find out which is the best banking relation we can send you, and then you get a reference number. And if you you tell us from which currency you want to exchange, currently it's Swiss francs and euro. And then you can tell us your email address if you want to be notified via email. You will be notified in the application over push notifications if something changes. And then you take the reference number, set up the transfer in your banking app, and send the euros or Swiss francs to us. And then we do the exchange and send it and swap it directly into your wallet, and then you're loaded.
What's the privacy like then? It must be quite good. You don't obviously save any information in that regard, I'm assuming.
That's Swiss law. We recently just recently acquired to be brokered from basically a party in Switzerland called Kalko-F. Verein für Qualitätssicherung und Finanzwesen, which has the permission to audit companies like us and Pocket and Relay, so that they can do the brokerage. And with that, we really can have like this, everybody's talking about this low KYC or no KYC coins, in terms of you send us a SEPA transaction and you don't really have to run through a complicated KYC process. If you are under some thresholds, like the ever known 1,000 Swiss franc, or currently it's 900 euros a day, which you can flip in Bitcoin without going through like a lot of the AML documentation and stuff. So with this, you already make it very easy to switch your fiat into Bitcoin. And then having like decent fees and so on, you can even incentivize, and here I come back to instant rebuy, you can really incentivize people moving from fiat into Bitcoin if they're already like in a Bitcoin manner and Bitcoin mood, that you have like quite decent fees.
That's perfect. That makes sense. It's fascinating. And the work you're doing is inspiring, and thank you for that. And we're looking forward to sort of seeing how that develops and grows. But we're working towards the end of the show now. But every ending of our show, we ask our guests to see if all roads lead back to Bitcoin, because obviously that well-known saying that all roads do lead back to Bitcoin, we put that to the test here at Rabbit Hole Stories. And the way we do that is we're going to give you a word or phrase, and somehow you're going to have to try and relate that word or phrase back to Bitcoin somehow. And seeing as I'm up in Edinburgh for a few days, it would be silly for me not to give you the word whiskey and ask you how that can lead back to Bitcoin.
I mean, as a whiskey lover, with whiskey, there's also like a little bit fiat in there. If you really have a deep look in how whiskey is built and how produced and how whiskey ages, there's the angel share. And the angel share is like an inflation, because alcohol evaporates through the barrels. And with this, you get not only the flavor and everything into the whiskey, but also you lose over time. So the longer the whiskey stays in this barrel, it's not only getting more flavor, but he's devastatingly reduced in volume. Hence the 55 to 60% in alcohol when it comes directly from the barrel. So how does this lead back to Bitcoin? I mean, Bitcoin is a just from the top of my head, Bitcoin is an enhancement for the exchange of value. And if I would see this angel share as a positive thing, I could say like the more the longer this barrel exists and the whiskey is stored in the barrel, the rarer it gets, because it gets scarcer. So if you want to point this to Bitcoin, there's whiskey gets more expensive the older it is, based on the scarcity it has.
Love it. Sounds perfect. And yet we're still proving that all the roads lead back to Bitcoin. Joel, why don't you close the show for us, bro?
Yeah, sure. Basti, if people want to get in contact with you, where's the best place to find you?
The best place to find myself is basically on Telegram. Find me at Lapistano on Telegram. Find Lipa is on X. Lipa BTC on X. And we have like dedicated Telegram channels for the Lipa wallet and for the Lipa wallet for business, so we can give you straight away the support we want you to get.
It's always a double check before I go on. Perfect. I mean, there's not much more to say, Basti, than I look forward to seeing you at the next event, because it's literally at the release date of this episode, it will be in this week. So we assume that we're now in this week. So I'll see you later on. And thanks again for your time spending with us here. And obviously also to our lovely listeners. We know time is finite, and we also know it's the most scarce asset beside Bitcoin and whiskey from what we've learned. So thanks, everyone. And as always, stay curious.